But I want to focus much more on that idea of after magic happens, after transformation happens, after the battle, what happens then? And so this is a positive ending for the story, the thought of someone coming back home to you. And that is what happens with Drosselmeyer and his nephew.
That's Hanen Misko, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Hanen Misko is the School of Dance instructor at the Lawrence Arts Center. He joins us to talk about their production of The Nutcracker, a Kansas ballet, which runs through December 16th. Hanen, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Before we talk about this year's production of The Nutcracker, a Kansas ballet, tell us a bit about yourself. How did you come to be at the Lawrence Arts Center?
Well, I grew up in the Midwest. I have several siblings who also dance, an older brother and a younger sister. Before I was in Kansas, I moved to New York City. I trained at the Juilliard School and danced for several New York City-based companies there and married my wife, who we have three kids with. And what happened was, in the process of raising a family after our firstborn, we were pregnant with her second, and we were looking around the studio that we were in, the apartment, and it just became very evident that there wasn't enough space to raise more than our first child. And so we decided that it would make a lot more sense to move to a place with more space that was a bit more convenient, conducive for raising a family, instead of trying to go to the grocery store while holding the hands of two kids, pick up diapers, and take the bus back and deal with basically all that busy traffic. So we made that decision. This was back in 2011, and decided to move back to the Midwest. Is at that time, after moving back, a friend of mine said the Arts Center had a job posting for the dance director position, and I applied. I'm not sure what would happen, but I knew if I applied, you know, I would want to be operating within the arts and working within sort of a community capacity. And so I remember my first interview, going to the Arts Center and walking in that building, and I couldn't believe how much goes on there. I walked in, big open room, lobby, gallery space, these hallways that take you to other creative spaces. And I was brought into this conference room with, oh, so many different just directors there. And I knew it right then. I was like, this is where I want to be. And so when the offer came around, I didn't hesitate to accept.
Let's talk a bit more about The Nutcracker, because many people are familiar with The Nutcracker, but this is The Nutcracker, a Kansas ballet. So that story is both familiar and different. So tell us about the storyline for this production.
So the Nutcracker tradition at the Lawrence Arts Center began in 2002. And that was under the leadership and sort of crafting of Rick Averill and Deb Bettinger. Titled that production was A Kansas Nutcracker. And the version that we're telling today is inspired by that original story. And it follows the original storytelling of the text that E.T.A. Hoffman wrote, The Nutcracker and the Mouse King, but also borrowing certain threads from that original story that Rick Averill and Deb Bettinger started in 2002. And so the story begins with Sir Drosselmeyer in his workshop crafting these dolls. Specifically, he's crafting a Nutcracker doll that resembles his nephew who's fighting in the Civil War. Along the way, Drosselmeyer leaves his workshop and is going to this party he's a bit late for. There's a very specific person who's at that party, and that is someone named Clara Stahlbaum, the daughter of the host. And Clara is given this doll very specifically by Drosselmeyer, because Clara's not an ordinary person, per se, and neither is Drosselmeyer. After the party has ended, after a lot of festivities, Clara falls asleep, and things start to change. I call it the dreamscape. Anything is possible in this dreamscape. It could be real, it could be unreal. It doesn't matter in this time of the show. And the first thing that happens is her younger brother comes out holding a rat, releases the rat, and it crawls across the stage, and instantly magic happens, and then there are large, giant rats that are chasing Clara. And as it continues, the Nutcrackers transform. Drosselmeyer plays a large part in that, in transforming the Nutcracker to fight alongside Clara in the battle. And at the end, Clara and Drosselmeyer are victorious through the use of a wonderful ballet shoe. We have a mouse queen who plays the sort of opponent. And at the end of the battle, they're both transformed. Still within this sort of like dreamscape, they're both transformed and they venture into the lands of Kansas. As this is happening, we'll let the audience in their imaginations figure out what actually goes on. But at the end of the show, Drosselmeyer's nephew returns home from the war. And so this version, what really inspires it is the thought of what would happen during the war or any war. What do you desire for those who are in the war? You want them to come home, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's kind of like this emptiness when they're away. So you wish for them to come back, whoever's serving. But also this thought of within E.T.A. Hoffman's story, how does the Nutcracker come back and what is the significance of that as well? I think a lot of Nutcracker productions will focus just on these other characters, just on the land of sweets, or just on this idea of having a big party. But I want to focus much more on that idea of after magic happens, after transformation happens, after the battle, what happens then? And so this is a positive ending for the story, the thought of someone coming back home to you. And that is what happens with Drosselmeyer and his nephew.
Another thing that is different about this production is the music. I mean, of course, you're going to have the familiar music of the Nutcracker, but it's been arranged to have a Kansas flavor to it. Explain to us what that means.
Certainly. So this music was arranged by Jeff Derringer. And also crafted, again, with Rick Averill and Deb Bettinger. I've introduced some additional segments of the score back in 2002. Probably about 55 to 65% of the score was being performed. And that's also because back then, half the show was theater. The other half was dance. Today, it's a full ballet. It's all dance. And so we require much more of the music. But yeah, there's these wonderful changes of the original arrangement, right? It was made for an orchestra. And we still have that orchestra. It's about a 12 to 15 member group. But the changes is we've swapped out some of our stringed instruments with mandolins. And I know some of the listeners, when they hear this, are going to say, oh, how could you do that? Well, I promise you, it's actually pretty incredible. Mm-hmm. Somehow this score works really well with the adaptation of some bluegrass undertones or straightforward just tones. So you have these mandolins who are playing in the grandfather's dance in Act One, and the solo of that lion is also played by a mandolin. The snakes dance, which is the original Arabian, we've swapped out some of the percussion instruments, so you can hear a little bit more like a rattle, so it sounds like a snake. But the music's been adapted really for our space. There's no brass in it. Frankly, you know, we've maxed out our stage, we've maxed out our pit, we've maxed out backstage, like every single corner of our building is full. And so the arrangement, the storytelling, the arrangement of the music and the storytelling of the production is crafted for our facility as well. One thing that's really spectacular too, this year we have the Lawrence Children's Choir who are singing what we call the La-La's in our Winter Wonderland. So at the end of Act One, they're in the back of our house and being our live choir.
Tell us a little bit more about the process of putting this production together. What are some of the challenges of working within this space for such a really big production?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm always focusing on logistics and the how can this happen? You know, what can we change? You know, at the core of this is the experience, right? So we want to provide an exceptional experience for the cast members, also the audience. That's actually what I first focus on. And then the next question I ask is, how can I do that and still have fun? Because there's just so much that goes on. We have 145 cast members in this show alone. It's ranged even higher. We've had up to 165. But when you factor in the musicians, the backstage technicians, the volunteers, etc., there's over 200 people that work on every single show. So there's a lot of people who are involved in a lot of coordination. And so, yeah, we're thinking about, you know, when we make this change, for example, this year, I wanted to improve the costume and the appearance of one of our dances in Act Two. And to give everyone a little goose egg, John Brown has a special feature in Act Two. He has a dance with his family. And part of that is the beard, of course. Mm-hmm. Well, I've never have incorporated the use of a actual beard in this show, like a wig, you know? So that's added a whole nother layer. You need somebody who can style that beard. You need to train the person who's applying that beard. And then you need the person to maintain it. So you basically need additional staff. So that's kind of represents like, you know, one little change that actually makes a big impact for us backstage. But, you know, when I'm thinking about the future, you know, I start with that creative idea. I say, hey, you know, what could this be? You know, there's so many wonderful things in Lawrence that you can tell. I'm actually dreaming of a sort of desperado piece, a piece that incorporates a large horse puppet one of these years. But the thing I have to ask is, where do I put that? Where does it go? Off stage? Who's going to build it? Can I find a welder? Can I find someone who can fabricate it? And then again, once when I have it, who is going to drive it? Who's going to be the puppeteer? And so it's a major challenge. So yeah, Nutcracker right now is, we work on it year round. Mm-hmm. So as this production is happening, I'm already working on next year's schedule, logistics, thinking of the positions, who do I need to operate it? And then also, what changes do I want to make? What would we like to incorporate in preparation for next year's show? And so auditions, they begin for the cast in September, usually the second or the third weekend in September. Rehearsals begin the first week of October. So we spent about 2 months just rehearsing the show with those 145 cast members. And then we put on about 5-6 days of tech rehearsals. What I say to our stage manager, Samaria, the choreography is on stage, but it's also off the stage. So, you know, there's people who have to have a sort of path, a certain choreography. You know, you start point A, you go to point B, you go to point C on stage, but also definitely off the stage. So there's a lot going on.
Now, you mentioned him earlier, but I wanted to give you a chance to talk about the conductor from the Nutcracker. I understand that, you know, he's been involved for over 15 years, and this is going to be his last performance with the Nutcracker. Tell us more about him.
Oh, Jeff Derringer is just a joy to work with. He's an incredible fella. Great humor, really wonderful humor. And then also very serious as well. When he is conducting the orchestra, he asks a lot of his musicians. He really wants the music to be spot on. Of course, he arranged it, but he desires a lot from his musicians. And there's just so much spirit in his conducting. You'll see that if you have a chance to see him move. His body language is very particular. But even outside of being a conductor, Jeff has served the Arts Center, the Lawrence community, in more capacities than that. I know he's been seen to be players with Rick Averill years ago. He's also performed as an actor on stage. He's a brilliant actor. And also a craftsman himself. Actually, our Mother Ginger set in the Nutcracker was crafted by him. Prior to 4 years ago, our Mother Ginger would walk out on stilts, believe it or not. Hope I'm not giving away too many secrets here, but that character would walk out on stilts. And, you know, it always made me a bit nervous when you think about, you know, the usage of those stilts. What are they really designed for? They're designed for construction. So I wanted something much more secure and safer for our Mother Ginger. So I heard that Jeff Derringer is an excellent constructor and could make something out of wood. His wife, Beth Derringer, is a brilliant costumer and has designed many of the costumes. She also plays in the orchestra too on the mandolin. But when I heard that, I reached out to Jeff and I said, would you be interested in this? And he said, I think so. And so we met. I remember going to the theater, being on the stage, and he told me to be very specific, tell him exactly what I want. And after hearing what I wanted, he said, let's see if we can actually make this happen right now. I want you now to show me what you want. And he's talking about the movement of the object. It's Mother Ginger set. And so we found ourselves a dolly with four wheels, a piano bench, And we placed the piano bench on the dolly with the four wheels, and he sat on it and said, "So I can get an idea of what you really want, push me, make me do it." And so it was quite a sight. It was fun. And so basically I said, this is how she's going to enter. She's going to do a circle right here. She's going to finish right here and come back and then go off the stage. And I remember doing that with him, which was just a funny way to go about it. A lot of play. And then fast forward, when that set piece was constructed, it was perfect. It was really done to the specs that we discussed. So yeah, it's been an honor to have him in the show and work beside him. What he told me is after so many years of putting this together, he would like to see it for a change. Mm-hmm. And I can't argue with that.
This production of The Nutcracker, a Kansas ballet, is an annual tradition now for many years at the Arts Center. So why has this been important for the Arts Center? Why has this been something that had the opportunity to become a tradition to do this year after year?
I love that question. And to be honest, I ask that question for myself as well. Why am I doing the Nutcracker? Why am I still part of it? The first time I performed the Nutcracker was when I was 12. And I was in Warrensburg, Missouri, when a ballet company came up from Oklahoma and staged it on the community dancers there. And that really set it off. Since then, I have performed hundreds of Nutcrackers, sometimes even three different Nutcrackers with different groups per year. And it really just became something part of my life, just like a tradition, just like some sort of holiday. This is something that you do, that you celebrate. And here at the Arts Center, when I started working on the show in 2013 with Rick Averill, I just saw the magic that was going on. What he was doing within the production, as well as the creative energies and choreographies that Deb Benger had instilled in the show, and then hearing the sort of adapted, sort of Kansas-arranged music, there's something very extra special about this production, as well as the cast. This becomes a thing to do for so many families. Year after year, they want to do this. This is part of their lives. And so, you know, now that I'm the artistic director, I've been doing this for 3 years, I have a better chance to see the impact that it has on the performers, really. The excitement, the sort of nervousness, the challenge. But this production brings people together. It's difficult, but when that curtain goes up and when that curtain comes down, there's a celebration that goes on after every show. And that is something that you can't replace. You cannot replace that sort of communal coming together and celebrating the thought of, you know, we did this. It doesn't mean it has to be perfect. The show does not have to be perfect. But the show is something that gives us a chance to say, yeah, I did this, and I did this with the person next to me. We cannot do this apart. It requires all of us. And so there is this sort of magical, almost spiritual joy that comes out of doing something with so many other people that you can't do without.
Where can people get information about showtimes and tickets?
Sure. The performances are held at the Lawrence Arts Center. If your listeners would go online to lawrencearcenter.org, click the performance tab, and you can see all the upcoming events from there. You should be able to purchase tickets.
Hanen, thank you for talking with me today.
Hey, thank you very much for having me, Dan.
Hanen Misko is the School of Dance instructor at the Lawrence Arts Center. Their production of The Nutcracker, a Kansas ballet, runs through December 16th. You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. On Facebook, you'll find us at KPR Conversations. That's all one word. You can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. And you can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.